Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we are here tonight on this Wednesday night going to be talking to Michael Lee Hill, and this should be a very, very interesting show. Looking forward to it myself. And, well, what can I tell you? I've got a bio for Michael on the website, and I encourage everyone to go to the front page of Camelot to start off with in case you haven't already been there. And actually want to make a few announcements before we launch into everything. First of all, I just released a new interview, and this is with Richard Allen Miller. So it's interviews nowadays done the formal way with camera and so on and so forth and editing are few and far between simply because I don't travel as much and the logistics just aren't possible. But I've been finally able to get this one out, which I shot in October. I think it was in October of this year. And Richard Allen Miller is a fascinating individual. He is a magician, and he's a lot more than that. He's a physicist and has a background in above top secret working in black projects. So people will probably find this to be quite a fascinating interview. It's on the front page of Camelot. All you do is just scroll down. The links are on my blog, or if you just go partway down the page, you'll see it under latest release and just click there and you can watch it. If you want some background on him, there's a blog post as well as an actual page that you can go to get some more of his bio. So that's one thing. The other thing is that I was announcing on my blog, everyone knows I'm taking a group to Egypt on 2012. We're actually leaving. I'm leaving December 9th, and we will be in the Great Pyramid on December 20th. The Great Pyramid will be shut down by the powers that be on the 21st. However, a lot of people are going to be staying on the plateau and doing some additional meditations on the 21st. And so I want to encourage everyone. I did make a post on my blog, what I basically called it, Orchestrating 2012, Calling All Light Warriors. And so I want to encourage people to meditate with us during those 2 days, anytime they would like to join us, of course. And time and space are rather an illusion, so it really probably doesn't matter exactly when you join us. But if you join us in spirit, that would be awesome. Just increasing the impact of the meditations that we are doing to try to clear the dark side, well, off planet Earth, but also out of the Giza area, if at all possible. And that's what we're going to be doing, bringing down the light and securing the light on planet Earth in that particular very powerful place on the 21st and the 20th and 21st of 2012. So just want to encourage everyone to join us in spirit if they would like to. And I think that is it for my announcements, other than to say that Project Camelot needs funding, believe it or not. I am going to Egypt only because of the generous people who have joined us on the trip, and their additional money makes it possible to have me pay for myself and the speakers that are going on this trip, which is Michael Tellinger, Hugh Newman, and Rebecca Jernigan, all very, very wonderful and fascinating individuals in their own right. And there's more about that on my website, projectcamelot.org. And you can go to the events, the events drop down and see information there. Lastly, there is a link on the front page to various sort of Camelot roundtables, and we're actually putting one together very soon here on the Jesuits with, William Dean Garner, who is going to be heading that up along with myself and a few other people that have been invited. So if all things go well, we hope to bring that to you sometime in about a week and a half before I leave for Egypt. In the meantime, there are some very, very timely and important live events that we have on there. These are video roundtables. They do cost money to put on. Quite a bit of intensive work goes into them, and they are a fabulous place where you get people comparing notes like-minded people, researchers, and people that have experience in black projects, et cetera, with whistleblowers, et cetera. So these are very important. I just want to ask you if you want to donate to Camelot and you'd like to get something at the time for your money, because although we're 90% free, you're always getting something at Camelot for your money, but or for the lack thereof. But I want to encourage you to buy those and support Camelot. That would be a great way to do it. So without further ado, I want to introduce Michael Lee Hill. We're going to be talking about the Anunnaki and some of his experiences. And I hope that everyone will be very interested to see what we've got going on with Michael. There is a chat room here on our website, and I'd like you to go to live chat if you'd like to join us. That's one place where you can ask questions of Michael later on the show. I'm sure a lot of people would be interested to do that. Michael is actually a well-known musician and a filmmaker as well as a UFO experiencer. His footage of the Lake Erie UFOs created a sort of a Billy Meyer type buzz. And he is he calls himself an unassuming rocker who has developed an intuitive relationship with craft, and the visitors. And in his home state of Ohio, he's been cataloging video after video of UFOs over Lake Erie. What makes it different than most sightings is that the phenomena consists of pulsating orbs of light and has various unusual characteristics, including changing colors, converging and separating over a lake, which in itself does not, it's a no-fly zone, I understand. So this is a rather unique situation. He actually shot for Spike TV, I guess a whole show, and then he had something similar happen to him as happened to us on our TV show that some people will now know has been released very sort of off the cuff and secretly by, in our case, True TV, is now out on the web and has gone viral and is available on the front page of Camelot. But Michael's situation, and he can talk about this, is that he did this for Spike TV. Originally, he was told that they wanted to rush it. They wanted to edit it in 1 week's time and get it on the air. And then they got a call from upstairs somewhere, and the thing was put on the shelf. Our situation was that ours was put on the shelf for about 2 years. I believe this had just happened to Michael, and we can clarify all of that. He was also one of the speakers who was supposed to speak along with myself and many others at the Pythagoras conference that was also asked. It was basically they were shut down, and there's a lot of threats and various things that went on behind the scenes there. So without further ado, Michael Lee Hill, welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing, Carrie?
I'm doing well. It's just been, you know, just crazy here, and we've got so much going on. And I guess a lot of people are kind of feeling that right now. How are you feeling these days as we get very, you know, close to the beginning of 2012?
You know what? I'm really happy. I was frustrated with this suppression, this like wall of just trying to bust through, you know, like I think that we deserve the truth, you know, and that's what I'm fighting for. And, you know, to have things that you're involved with shut down, it's frustrating, as you know. But, you know, I'm hopeful for the future and what's happening. And I know, you know, the whole subject with the Anunnaki brings up a lot of negative aspects to it. And it's understandable, you know, but I think we're truly at the edge of a new golden age. And I'm excited for the future.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that. What I'd like you to do, if you wouldn't mind, is sort of maybe in your own words, talk a little bit about your early experiences even if something occurs to you that you haven't already spoken about or put out there, that's great. And then we'll kind of circle around to the sort of important parts of your, I guess, the experience that was most written about and most described. But can you describe your background and sort of what other experiences you might have had leading up to that?
Well, I've had strange experiences my whole life. I remember growing up and asking my parents why Santa Claus's elves kept coming to visit me, even though it wasn't Christmas, you know. And these were never fearful. As a matter of fact, I always felt like they were there to give me gifts somehow. And it was never a fearful experience. A lot of experiences like that, like growing up, where like just a strange kid would show up out of nowhere and told me that they truly were not from here and they just wanted to meet me and say hi and talk for a minute. Never really understood what was going on there, you know. I remember seeing my Aunt Sue had a station wagon, and I was in the back of it with my cousins. And I was laying on my back, and I was looking up through the window, and I could see a flying saucer, like a typical, you know, movie saucer. And it was right above the treetop level, and I was trying to get other people in the car to see it, and no one could see it. I couldn't understand why. I'm like, it's right there, you know. But when I got in my 20s, I actually went the whole business route and became a manager, and all of that kind of fell to the wayside. And then I came up out of that and decided I was here to be a musician and went through a spiritual awakening, I guess you could call it. That's when this new phase of activity started happening. And that would have been, well, I left my job for 15 years to concentrate on music, and that was in 2000. So everything's unfolded from that point till now.
Okay. When did this specific experience, let's see, I guess maybe you can tell me, but if I understand, it started with you seeing craft over Lake Erie, and then it kind of went from
there. Indeed. Yeah. The earliest event that happened was there was this craft that flew over seven states, actually. And I had a telepathic communication. His voice was like, you got to go outside and bring your camera. And by that point, I had learned to listen to that internal voice, you know. So I went outside, and sure enough, there was this huge glowing, looked like a snow angel, like, but up in the sky, and it was like purple. It was glowing, and I got it on film. It's on YouTube. But this thing was reported over seven different states, and I did get it on tape, and that's what really started to, that was the beginning of this unfolding. And then I started to see these, they're almost like miniature suns. They're beautiful. And they were, I live very close to Lake Erie, and I started seeing them quite often. So I started going down to the lake and just around sunset, and I would just be sitting there with my camera on a tripod just waiting for them. And that was about 2005. And started to just accumulate some mind-blowing footage. So that's what led to being offered to be on the UFO Hunters. And so that started a whole new chapter in all this, because that's, for the first time, Bill Burns, because he had come up with across another contactee who had the exact same experiences as I have. His name's Terrell Copeland. He had filmed the exact same thing as I had, experienced the same type of contact. But the thing was, he had a unknown blood anomaly. He was, what do you call it when you're released out of the military? Anyhow, it was because they found out that he had this blood anomaly, and none of the military doctors could figure out what it was or why it was happening. So they gave me an honorary discharge. That's what it is.
Right, right.
So Bill Burns thought, well, wouldn't it be strange, because we had so many other similarities, that if I had this also, this unknown blood anomaly. So they flew me and Terrell to Boston. And we had our blood work done by a Harvard professor, and it was all revealed on the UFO Hunter show called Alien Contact. And that's when I found out that I had this blood anomaly as well. And, you know, up until that point, I was just filming this stuff over Lake Erie. It wasn't truly personal, you know. And the day I found out about this blood issue is the day they're like, well, you have it too. See ya. Have a nice day. And I was on a plane back home. Like, wait a minute. This is real, you know. And so I asked them, is there anything I should know? And they're like, well, we really don't know what to tell you because it's unknown. We've never come across this before. And that was in the beginning of 2008. And so in the middle of 2008 is when I had my first meeting with the Anunnaki, face-to-face, or faceless as it turned out. Yeah, this wasn't meditating or anything. I went to a festival called Sirius Rising in the middle of 2008 and talked to a representative from the – at that point, you got to understand, too, I had no idea what an Anunnaki was. You know, I really didn't even understand what this bloodline issue was or anything about it. They're the ones that told me, you know, that they are what is known as the Anunnaki. And I remember, you know, at that time there wasn't a whole lot of information out there. You know, I tried to Google it, and you know, there's a few people on that subject. You know, Jason Martell and some other people doing a great job, but there wasn't a whole lot. There was no Ancient Aliens on the History Channel.
Hi, we're going to be right back. We've got a commercial, and we'll be right back with Michael Lee Hill.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
What would you do if you or someone that you love was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered ION and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme's disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcension process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, the major media destroys information, and religions destroy spirituality. I think there's more to know here.
What you hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. If you know anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality. Anything they can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Truth Brigade Radio. Live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Michael Lee Hill. Michael, are you there?
Yes, I am. I love this song, the Pink Floyd song.
Cool, yeah. Anyway, so you were about to talk about being at the Sirius Conference, right, or concert, or whatever that was called.
Sirius Rising Festival. Yeah. I got to back up because what they first brought up, the Anunnaki, they asked me what I knew about a certain individual, which was David Sirita, who had went on Coast to Coast and was talking about a Boyd Bushman, they told me. Said that this individual that was talking to me said that he belonged to a group of individuals who control what gets released to the public. He said it's still, he married into the J. Allen Hynek family. And he said, and if people that might, I'm sure this audience knows who he is, but he was the head of Project Blue Book and like the liaison between the military and the government and the public. And,
Okay, wait 1 minute here, because I'm trying to put wrap my mind around what you're saying, because I guess we're getting confused a little bit. Who are you saying married into the J. Allen Hynek family?
This person in Sirius Rising who was said to be like the king of the Anunnaki. The name was never given. The only name of any individual that I was actually with was Loki. But I heard Loki refer to him as my king. He was definitely in a position of authority. And this is him talking to me. He had a high position in NASA, as it turns out. I know his name. I mean, I know who he is.
You know his name. In other words, my understanding is that, at least from what I read, they said he was Enlil, supposedly.
No, it was never even given, but I presume it was Marduk, because Marduk has communicated to me now through different vessels as well, using the exact same technique that, from what I understand, they have a higher cellular capacitance, and they can actually like project images into your mind of what they want you to see. I think that's what was happening, because he actually could go faceless, and I've seen this with other people, but the person in...
Okay, but we kind of leaped ahead, sort of, I guess, after the break. So let me slow you down a little bit and just back you up so that people can get this sort of, we can sort of set the scene. Mm-hmm. What they were up to speed with knowing that you had shot these videos of, you know, over Lake Erie. But at that point, I'm assuming you didn't have any contact with the Anunnaki until you went to this festival, correct?
Correct. What happened in between that was some strange things started to happen with my, like, I was going to go on to CBS and do my first interview because my footage was starting to make some waves. And I was attacked before that and had my jaw broke. And because of that, that's why I sent all my stuff to David Sarita. And that was back in, I think, 2007. So this all led to me being a partner with David in this film From Here to Andromeda. And this is where he had this person, Boyd Bushman, who is a senior scientist from Lockheed Martin. And he gave a testimony in mine and David's film about anti-gravity and showed us the actual blueprints. And this guy's a senior scientist from Lockheed Martin. So the reason I'm telling you all this is that's the history of why in the middle of 2008, the first thing that they wanted to know is what I knew about the release of that information, because it was never supposed to happen. In their own words, they said, we decide what gets revealed.
And this when you're saying they said we... Mm-hmm. You mean the person who you were introduced to by a guy named Loki? Is that right?
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Now the guy named Loki. Let's talk about him for a minute. So you went to this conference, and my understanding is you were asked, "Is Loki a friend of yours?"
No. I met him there. He is now. He's a very he's one of the coolest people. He's got along great. That's why he kind of took me under his wing there.
Okay, but he's the one who brought you over to meet this other individual whose name you believe at this time is Marduk?
Yes, and Loki is the one that told me that they were Anunnaki, and he also told me a lot about it. Now, mind you, at this time, I didn't know what an Anunnaki was.
Right.
He told me that they perceive time differently than we do, and that the only way, he said that, what is happening here is truly an experiment in the acceleration of conscious evolution by accelerating almost multidimensionally the light and the dark. This gets into some deep subjects, but he said
I'm sorry. I want you to kind of go step by step with the experience, because I want people to sort of see how you sort of experienced this meeting before we get into the philosophy.
Right on.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, yes, absolutely. This gets into so many weird areas. I do need some reining in, so I appreciate it.
You know, I'm sorry, but I really want you to go step by step. So at this moment, this guy named Loki somehow approaches you and invites you to come and meet someone. Is that right?
Yes. Loki we were hanging out the whole weekend. There was a whole group of people at this festival. I was dating a girl that owned a metaphysical jewelry store, and that's how I ended up at this festival. One night Loki said, I'm going to go back to the campground and just make sure everything is buttoned down. And I didn't have anything to do, so I said, well, I'll go with you. And we walked back, and when we got there, that's when he told me that there's some people there that had been waiting, wanting to talk to me, and that they were in this structure. They called it the genie bottle, because it was kind of like a gazebo that had fabric all the way around it. And once you got in it, there's only one way out of the gazebo, and once the fabric fell back down, it's kind of hard to even find your way back out of it. It was kind of strange. And that's what these individuals
were. So great. So at that point, you met this person, and was he had a, didn't he have a woman with him?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. There were, this was a round structure, this gazebo, and there was like a round couch inside of that. And those two were on the couch, and then directly in front of that couch was like a beanbag kind of chair, and that's where I sat. And right when I looked at them, I could see up to their necks, and I could see everything fine, but right when I got to their face, it was almost like there was a shadow that was over their face, and it would track their facial movements wherever they looked. And I actually said to him, I said, can I see your faces? He said, no, you'll have to wait till tomorrow to see our true faces. I thought, that was strange. Like, right then and there, like, I'm going to see you tomorrow? All right, you know? So that's how the whole meeting, which was probably about 45 minutes, happened in that environment.
Okay, so at this moment, you sort of sat down and proceeded to talk to him, and you couldn't see them all that well. How close were you to these people?
Probably 5 feet away, 6 feet.
Okay, so not that far.
No.
Okay, and did they ever stand up while you were there?
No. They were both of them. He was, when I was looking towards them, he was on the left and she was on the right. I couldn't see either one of their faces.
Okay. And were they wearing hoods or anything?
I didn't think so, but when they left, I turned around and I thought, you know what? We're fast forwarding to the end of this meeting when we left this structure. Then I turned around and I looked, and he was wearing a robe that looked like it was emitting light. And looked very translucent to my eyes. But I'd been in the dark for 45 minutes, so it could have been just how my eyes were adjusting to, but it really appeared that his robe was illuminating, and I don't know why.
Why had you been in the dark? Are you saying when you went in that little gazebo, it's dark inside?
Yeah, it was candlelit. A lot of candles in there. You know, it was where you could see pretty well, but it was definitely, it was candles.
Okay, but so this person talked to you, but you couldn't see their face. Is that correct?
Yeah, I could see totally everything up to their necks. And
okay,
and
but if I was meeting somebody in a gazebo and I couldn't see their face, I might be a little bit uncomfortable.
I was. I actually started meditating for a while, and because the beginning of this meeting wasn't even, it was very hostile. When he was asking me about the Boyd Bushman stuff being revealed, there was death threats coming out of his mouth, you know. And one good thing.
Can you? I'm gonna wait 1 second here. So can we? How did you get introduced? Did Loki just say hi? This is my friend so and so. Was there a formal introduction of any kind?
No, not at the beginning. He just said there's some people in the genie bottle who have been waiting to talk to you. So when I went in, I just went in by myself, and that's how the meeting started.
Oh. But, would you say this guy is tall? He and his companion, did they appear to be tall even though they never stood up?
No. Well, I can't tell from in the structure at this point, but I spent the next day. They cooked me lunch and I'm in the daylight with them, and they were just normal, maybe 5.5 feet tall.
You're pretty tall, aren't you?
I'm about 6 foot.
Yeah. So you're taller than them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So at this point, he's not friendly to you?
No, not at all. I actually stopped, and started meditating right in the middle of the meeting.
Didn't you just leave? I mean, what made you stay? Do you know?
It was almost something spiritual. I've learned thoughts create reality, and I knew something was. If I was going to get scared, I would have been scared a long time ago. I just wanted to. If someone can't give you 5 minutes to clear your mind, screw them. You know what I mean? Give me 5 minutes for a minute. I just want to settle myself, And that's what happened. And he didn't really like that much.
Oh, really?
Near the end of that, he's like, come on, let's just go. He's talking to the woman. He goes, I just wanted to talk to you about the extraterrestrial subject. And at that point, I go, you know what? I'll talk to anyone about that because I'm very passionate about it and I think it matters. So if that's what you want to talk about, I'm game with talking to you about that. And that's what started the conversation.
Okay, and then he brought up, you'd been working with David Sereda, and you guys made a film.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I haven't seen this film. I would be interested.
I'll send you a copy of it.
Thank you. And but then meanwhile, Boyd Bushman was in the film, and he brought up David Sereda, and he said that wasn't supposed to be out there. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. And he told me that this J. Allen Hynek family is still in control of what gets released to the public. And he said that they would make J. Allen Hynek go out like one day and say one thing, and then the next day they'd make him contradict himself. And he didn't like what was happening anyhow.
Well, wait. I happen to know someone who worked with Jay, very, very closely with J. Allen Hynek. Mm-hmm. And I also was wondering, when you say they made him, are you saying that these people said that J. Allen Hynek had interactions with them?
No, it was more of the military industrial complex side of it, which, there's definitely two different camps, you know. I've started to look at things as Camp Good Cop and Camp Bad Cop.
Okay, but these guys were giving you a death threat, and mm-hmm. they were saying that they were talking about J. Allen Hynek. And who were they saying married into that family?
This is the person that's sitting in front of me. He married J. Allen Hynek's daughter, I do believe.
Well, is the woman sitting next to him J. Allen Hynek's daughter?
No, she, from what I understand, she was another bigwig in NASA.
In NASA?
Yeah, they're both.
So the guy who's from the Anunnaki, who supposedly is Marduk, works for NASA?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
And he never called himself Marduk?
He never did. The only... when this was all said and done, Loki walked up to him and put his arm around him and said, "Now you can finally rest, my king." We can get into that, but...
Okay, well, I'm sorry. So at this point, go ahead with your story. Kind of start from what he... Maybe if you could characterize some of the statements he made to you and continue.
Uh-huh. Well, it started off with this interrogation over the release of the senior scientist from Lockheed Martin, Boyd Bushman, in our film. And he asked me, "Do you know anything about it?" And I said, "Yeah, I know everything about it. That's in our film." And he said, "Who are you?" And I said, "Michael Lee Hill." And he said, "We need to know what you know." And at this point, he took out, it looked like a wand that had a purple LED thing at the end of it.
Okay, I'm very sorry. We have a commercial coming up, so please hold that thought, and we'll be right back, all right?
Cool.
Thanks.
Don't leave me. Look around. Choose your own ground.
Do you experience anxiety on a daily basis? Do you struggle to complete tasks, feel nervous in social settings, or are you losing sleep because of anxiety, worry, or health concerns? Let me tell you about a breakthrough discovery that changed my life. My name is Kirsten, and anxiety plagued me daily. I listened to the wonderful testimonials about RNA drops and decided to use them myself, beginning gradually from just a few drops to the recommended dosage. I'm happy to report that I experienced a significant decrease of anxiety, and that was just the beginning. After you hear the incredible stories at GetMyRNA.com, you can get a free trial-sized bottle valued at $50. Just pay shipping and handling. Again, that's GetMyRNA.com for your free trial-sized bottle today. Nothing is as important as feeling good again. Supplies are limited, so visit GetMyRNA.com right now.
Or see our ad on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. RNA drops.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Now, there's one thing you might have noticed I don't complain about. Politicians. Everybody complains about politicians. Everybody says they suck.
Yeah!
Well, where do people think these politicians come from? They don't fall out of the sky. They don't pass through a membrane from another reality. They come from American parents and American families, American homes, American schools, American churches, American businesses, and American universities, and they're elected by American citizens. This is the best we can do, folks. This is what we have to offer. It's what our system produces. Garbage in, garbage out. If you have selfish, ignorant citizens, you're going to get selfish, ignorant leaders. And term limits ain't going to do you any good. You're just going to wind up with a brand new bunch of selfish, ignorant Americans. So maybe it's not the politicians who suck. Maybe something else sucks around here. Like the public.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Fabian for Liberty. You can join me every Monday and Friday from 8 p.m. Eastern Time to 10 p.m. Eastern Time only on American Freedom Radio.
This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Michael Lee Hill. Michael, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. We've got slight feedback issues. I'm not sure why those are happening, but hopefully they'll go away soon. At any rate, you were about to talk about what they were saying to you, and the guy pulled out you said, sort of like a wand. Do you
mm-hmm.
want to talk from that point?
Yeah, I could feel it hit my forehead. And I guess what I've heard is that it stimulates the pineal gland, the third eye, you know, and actually, you know, it starts releasing DMT into the body. It felt really good, to be honest with you. And I remember I said, truth serum. And he said, well, we need to know what you know. He said, it won't hurt. I said, go ahead. I don't know why. It just didn't faze me. That's when everything changed, because I heard, you know, using that technology, they can see into your Akashic records, and they can see exactly all your incarnations. And all of a sudden, the whole demeanor of the meeting changed. And he said, oh, my God, how is it that you're here? And I said, well, a friend of mine brought me, you know. He said, this is a total miracle that you're sitting here. We've been wanting to have a council meeting. We've been waiting for you to show up. Here you are. You know, if you don't mind, we can have this council meeting right now. And I said, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm a student of this subject, and I'll talk about it with anyone, like I said, so sure. What they wanted to talk about, and now about three more people entered the tent, and they all sat around these gentlemen, and they said that in the near future that there would be another planetary object that would be seen in the sky as the second sun, and it wouldn't be debatable anymore, you know? And there's no doubt about it then, you know, what's the next logical step when people see a second sun? Is there going to go, hey, what was this Zachariah Sitchin guy talking about? You know, this is what they're telling me. They said there's no doubt about it. So they wanted to know what our own opinions were on what effect it would have on the mass population to find out the Anunnaki are real. And they asked us our views on how we thought it would change our government, our religious systems, economics, just the whole gamut. And after everyone spoke, they all said that they agreed that humanity had earned the right to be treated as equals and would be freed from the Illuminati and from the New World Order. And we would see those temples fall, and it would be all done with, like right now. So at the end of this council meeting, they said, all right, great. And he said, it must be time. And I said, well, wait, when? He said, obviously before 2012. And I was assuming it was December 21st, you know. But that was the first meeting with them. And like I said, I didn't even know what an Anunnaki was. And the strange thing about all this is some of the things that Loki had told me now have been confirmed. And some of it has actually unfolded in my life in a multidimensional way. Some more spiritual aspects and learnings. So it's been quite a trip.
Okay. You said that you spent the next day with them. Is that right?
Yeah.
Can you describe that day a little bit?
Yeah. I know some of this sounds so strange, and all I want to say is this is just what happened to me. You know what I mean?
You're obviously just relating what happened to you, and I have no problem with that. And so that's why you're on the show. So don't be defensive about it.
Right on. I'm not being defensive. I just sometimes I get a little. I know how weird it sounds. You know.
It's okay.
Actually, it
doesn't sound that weird to Pamela. So maybe right, other audiences, but this audience is like way used to all kinds of stuff. So go ahead.
So the next morning, I got up out of my tent, and I took a bottle of water, and I poured it over my head just to kind of wake up and splash my face with it. And when I looked up, right in front of my tent, there was a dirt road that went through there, and I seen this male and a female. And right when I looked at them, I knew that that was the couple from the day before. You know, I'd never seen them in human form, I guess if you want to say it. But I knew it was them. And the guy looked me right in the eye. They were right at the other side of the tent. He said, good morning, Commander Michael. And I still to this day do not know what a commander is. So I don't, you know, I'm just telling you that's what was said. And I said, hi, how you doing? I thought that was you guys. And we sat there and talked for a minute. And he asked me if he could make me lunch. And I said, sure. So went down. He had made lamb with okra sauce. I forget. There's a vegetable too with it, but I thought it was really strange to have lamb at a. It was pretty much a campground. You know what I mean? It was kind of a elaborate meal, but so we sat there and talked quite a bit about all of this, and I asked him. Well, you know, like, what about the Boyd Bushman stuff? Is my life in danger? Is Boyd's? And he said, no, now that we know that you're one of us, no one will harm you or them. And I thought that was really strange at that point because, mind you, I didn't know any of it. You know what I mean? But what I can tell you is Bill Burns, I don't know how he knew, but when he was in my house, he told me all this would be happening. And this is before we even flew to Boston. And,
What do you mean that Bill Burns told you it was going to be happening?
He said, you have a very special role to play. I know you're a hybrid. And he said, I'm going to prove it to the world. And this is before anything happened. And he said, I'm almost jealous. And I thought, that's ridiculous. You know what I mean? You're Bill Burns. I have no clue what you're talking about even.
Okay.
So
he obviously had some dealings with them, right?
It must be, because he knew, he said on the show that he knew we were hybrids and that we'd been approached by groups of insiders, and given courses of study on preparing us to actually make these connections now. And all of that, Bill Burns predicted it. And as you know, it's happened in reality, you know.
Okay, well, I know some of it's happened. So they made you lunch, and then what happened? First of all, you never really described, I know it's in the article, but for those who haven't read the article, right before you left the tent, if I recall, you know, when it was still sort of dark and they were still in their other kind of form, you did take a look at where their faces were, and you thought that you saw... do you want to describe what you thought you saw?
Oh, yeah. That's when I said, when everything was said and done, they said, okay, you know, let's get out of here. And we started to walk out. The leader person was right behind me. And right when we walked out into the light of outside of that genie bottle, I decided I'm going to turn around and look, you know, I just want to see. And it looked like he had a robe that was emitting light. And it looked like a translucent, almost like a gargoyle to me, type of. It wasn't scary, though. It looked very, wasn't scary. I don't know, awe-inspiring, actually. It was physical, but not truly physical. But like I said, we were in a candlelit room for 45 minutes.
Okay, but when you say it's gargoyle-like, are you talking slightly reptilian?
Yeah, I would say.
Uh-huh. Okay, so now we fast forward to the next day, and you're having lunch, and this guy's making you lunch, and I assume it's the guy and a woman, and now they're in fully human form. So what do they look like now?
Just like anyone you would see.
Well, I mean, everyone is distinctive in their own way. Can you describe them if somebody was like wanted a description?
What I can tell you is the night before when they had the glowing robe on and looked kind of translucent and had a more reptilian look, it was like those same features, even though they were more drastic the night before, they were still there. They were just more subdued. Like, and I could see it was the same person.
Right.
That's what I said. The minute I seen them in the next day in human form, I knew it was them. But the eyes were very, very radiant. Like a most very, very radiant light blue, but they actually look like they're emitting light a little bit, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh. But so we have a human, dark hair, light hair?
Light brown.
Light brown hair on the guy, short or long?
Short.
Good looking, not good looking?
Good looking guy. I mean, he's
don't worry, they're not going to kill you if you don't say they're good-looking.
No, no, no. He's like a quantum physicist-looking guy, you know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah.
So kind of an intellectual. Okay, yes. We'll be right back. We've got another break, and we'll be continuing the story with Michael Hill.
home to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Are chemtrail geoengineering programs changing our weather and destroying our environment? Why in the world are they spraying?
They want to create a storm in the southeast, then they'll start engineering out over the North Pacific. That's where the trailies will be.
Find out why critics are calling Why in the World Are They Spraying the most important film that is revolutionizing the environmental movement. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's just going to get worse until the point where we're not going to be able to grow anything at all unless it's a Monsanto genetically modified abiotic stress resistant seed.
Why in the World Are They Spraying? New international version with languages available from around the world. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's all about money, and weather is another form of commoditizing, a way the Central Command Group can commoditize another form of our life.
Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
What would you do if you or someone that you love was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered ION and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcension process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
I'm down south recently. I'm playing a town. This is absolutely true. It was in all the papers. It was on CNN. Apparently, everyone in this town saw these UFOs. And I'm curious. I asked people what it was like. Oh, man, it was incredible. Incredible. People came from miles around to look at them. A lot of people came armed.
Excuse me?
People are bringing shotguns to UFO sightings. Don't you think there's a point where we're going to drop the weapons? I mean, you know, the mothership comes. Maybe we don't know everything. Not like some intergalactic skeet shoot. There goes one out! Bringing shotguns to UFO sightings, man. It kind of brings a whole new meaning to that phrase. You ain't from around here, are you, boy? So I said to the guy, I go, why do y'all bring shotguns to UFO sightings? He said, well, we don't want to be abducted. I'm thinking, yeah, and leave all this. He said, huh?
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding. It made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly. Within days, the episodes became less frequent, and by a month, I completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics. No taboo topics. No fear of doom. No fear of doom. We are. We are. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Our hero claims a warrior's heart. I tell you, the dragonborn comes with the voice-wielding power of the ancient lord of hearts.
Capacity Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio. And we're talking to Michael Lee Hill. Michael, do you want to continue with where we left off, which was you had described his features, you described him and the way he looked in his human form. Can you describe the woman?
She was very frail. She had blonde hair, again, piercing eyes. She didn't really say much at all. That's about it.
Okay, interesting.
Didn't have a sense of humor, I'll tell you that.
I'm sorry?
Didn't have a sense of humor.
They didn't. They did not.
Well, he did. She didn't. I just made a joke about eating meat, and I said I'd heard that every slain animal looks out through the eyes of the hunter, and if you think about that. And she said, well, don't eat it. All right, then. Touché.
Okay, so, I mean, maybe this is not something you would know the answer to, but did you think that she was of the same Anunnaki race, or was she human?
I do not know. At that time, I didn't know what an Anunnaki was. All I knew was she was his woman, and that they're both from NASA, and pretty much the night before had told me that, revealed to me that, from what I understand, there's a lot of Anunnaki who are incarnated right now into to become human in every way. You know?
Sure. Well, there's no doubt about it. Okay, so at this point, is there anything that happened, any discussions that took place? Are you keeping the discussions that took place at the, you know, because if somebody makes you lunch, you have plenty of time to talk. Did you talk about other subjects? Was there any particular subject that you talked about?
I remember him telling me about, at one time, I know this is going to sound crazy, but he was talking about traveling down to like the bottom of the ocean. And I said, is this happening in reality? I don't understand. Are you talking in a parable? He said, your imagination in reality, there's no difference. I still, you know, this seems like rock bed reality to me. I understand what he's saying. But so there are some weird things that happen like that where I don't really even, it was a strange conversation. But other than that, there was a woman there, her name's Jane, and she's a remarkable woman. She's 18 inches tall. She was born with this disability where her bones never grew. And I met her at this conference, and she was just a beautiful soul, and she was having a documentary made about her incredible life. And so everyone went there, and we all went to see her documentary. And that's pretty much how the whole next day went down.
Okay. Was she at lunch? Is that what you're saying?
She was at the lunch, yeah.
Okay. All right. And so at that point you left, and did they explain to you about, you know, Enki and Lil Sitchin? Did they mention any of that stuff?
No. They said I was one of two brothers that had incarnated into these end times to try to help, and that all this would make a lot more sense. I learned more from Loki because he told me a lot. He even told me that they're getting ready for a change in their leadership, which is based on the processional cycle in the coming age of Aquarius. I got into some, you know, very detailed information, and I didn't know anything about this then. It's been confirmed, and I think that's interesting. I think there's no doubt that human history is totally intertwined with these beings, and I think it's a beautiful story when it's understood, because obviously, If the story is true, which is seeming like it, one of them went to bat for humanity and went against his own kind to make sure we survived. And I think that's a pretty noble thing.
Okay, well, Loki, What, who is he that he would have this information? And he obviously has, I assume, met with these people before you did. Is that right?
Yeah, he knew them personally, and I have no idea. I don't even know how Loki fits into the mythology of the Anunnaki, but he absolutely told me he was Anunnaki.
Well, actually, there is a character in the Anunnaki story called Loki.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes.
I'm learning, like I said, I pretty much at this point was some serious contact started happening between me and some people that you know, the life physics group. I don't want to get too much into that at this point, but
So when did they contact you, that group?
I contacted them. Actually,
how did you know to contact them?
Because I became a very astute student of the Wingmakers material, and I studied it to a degree probably not too many people have, because at that point I'd already proved to myself that thoughts create reality, and I was led to the Wingmakers material, and because of verifying its own validity to myself through... And I went through the Neruda interviews, and if a name was given, I went out and searched, when he talked about some reverse engineered technology that was given out for MiG fighter jets, where they could keep like 16 different missiles in real time, in their radar systems. And sure enough, it was real, So, what had happened was I came across some leaked information on the internet by James Casbolt, and it got into light encoded reality matrix information, and I knew exactly where it came from, So I contacted them, and just out of the blue, As a matter of fact, this is when all this happened, and I think you'll see the humor in this, because after the meeting in New York with Anunnaki, when I got back, I emailed, AR. I said, "Do you know anything about the Anunnaki?" He's like, "Yeah, I think we do,"
Okay, well, so he wrote back to you, I assume.
Yeah, well, what happened was I asked for the LERM documents, and they said, "Well, hold on for a minute. Let's talk," And we conversed. And that's when this wasn't with AR. This was with E.M. Wines, I believe it was his name. It wasn't until after that AR got involved.
So did you tell them right off the bat you were contacting them because you'd had this experience?
No, I contacted them because I asked for the LERM documents. I wanted
to
read them.
You didn't reference your experience?
No, not at all. I just... Okay.
I'm assuming they found out about your experience. Did you tell them?
Yeah. We started to talk and piece together, why this was happening.
What was their reaction to this?
Be very, very cautious. Matter of fact, I was kicked out for about a year. They were like, "You just came in contact with the ones, they're trying to put us out of business, and we're trying to put them out of business, and we can't be sure what's happened now, and we're really sorry." And I was like, "Well, that sucks. I can't help it who comes and says hello to me." I guess after a year of vetting and seeing where my head was, they realized I'm still very much my own man, and I haven't sided with anyone other than humanity and myself, All I want to do is play music, so you can't take that from me.
All right. So at this point, where did Wes Penrick come into this scenario?
There was a select group of people who was, you know what the link is, correct?
The link?
Yeah. That's the yearly conference, actually, that the people AR is involved with.
Oh, really?
No, I
don't know of it as not under that name.
I can share that info with you. I'm sure he wouldn't mind.
Okay, yeah. Actually, I've been in correspondence for a long time ago with A.R. Horton.
Right on. This is a book. It's 9 chapters of as of yet unreleased book to the public. And it's on all this. And there's been groups of humans that have been meeting with different groups of extraterrestrials for about 20 years now. So there was formed what was called the Linkage Institute, which was a group of people who were ready through all walks of, you know, people like Wes Penry was invited into it, and, you know, people who are top of their field in UFO stuff and so on and so forth. And that's how me and Wes met.
Was it through, I forget the organization that AR's part of, what is it called? The Life Sciences or somewhere.
Yeah, the Life Physics Group.
Yeah.
No, well, yes and no. This was more an initiative from AR himself, making a special group for, like, media people, you know, and
okay.
It was pretty much a free for all. We all communicated, and it was I made a lot of good friends that way, and met a lot of people.
All right, and at this point, how did that group? Well, there's so many, you know, things we could talk about, but just very quickly, because, you know, the Pythagoras conference happened, and a lot of us were invited to speak there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was canceled. And you seem to think, my understanding that it was canceled was probably because of AR and also, you know, what's his name, David Anderson and one or two others that were going to be speaking there that they didn't want out there, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you what I know. And that is, there's a select group of people who's been trying to keep this from humanity. And truly, they believe in a culling the herd, you know, killing off a large amount of humanity. So we're easier to control, I guess. And,
right.
And we're of a totally different opinion that that's not keeping in mind that we're right on the verge of being able to spread like a flower into the universe on a technological level, even if we pointed our ambitions instead of war into exploration. We can get off this planet. And, you know, I was having this conversation, and it was really interesting because AR said, would it surprise you if I told you that that's exactly what's happened in the past, meaning humanity has got to a certain point of evolution and then sprouted out into the universe. And I think that's beautiful because that's what's happening, I do believe. And so I think it's just a distorted viewpoint of fear by, I guess you'd call them the elite. And so what we
okay,
did...
But-
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Wasn't this guy who you are talking about, you already said that he said that they decide who's out there and who's not and so on and so forth. So it sounds like he's a member of the elite.
Yeah. What had happened was, I believe, with when the Age of Aquarius began, from a multidimensional aspect, they withdrew. I know this is getting into a very deep subject, but it doesn't mean that all these people who went into these secret societies and chose the dark path, you know, I hate to put it that way, their resonant frequency is exactly where it was before they took their tentacles out of it, if that makes any sense. So they're still learning. They're still acting out like children.
Right, sure.
And it's done. And, you know, everything's crumbling around them and all their...
Okay, but again, I just want to back up because we're really specifically, in a certain sense, talking about your interaction with the Anunnaki. Now, I do want to know if you've had any other interactions with any other Anunnaki, but the particular ones you've met with, at least the first, the way they came across initially was sort of to push you around, right? And so they're coming from a power place of a ruling power place, right?
Well, you know, to answer these questions properly, I got to tell you my own viewpoint. It's the best I've heard it explained is actually by Graham Hancock. And he explained in one of his documentaries, it's called The Myth of the Churning of the Milky Ocean. He said the importance was that everything that was in existence, the whole universe, rested on this Milky Ocean. And that there was two teams of churners who churned one team of darkness and one team of light. And he said what was the spiritual component of this was they were working in cooperation towards mixing this Milky Ocean so it created mankind to evolve into immortality. So in that aspect, you know, the Anunnaki, when they, I think that there's been a split off of like in purpose to one team, I call them Team Bad Cop, and they're here to reflect back a negative polarity.
Okay, and would you say, what I'm trying to get to the bottom of is the guy you met who is more or less, you believe at this time to be Marduk, did he reflect the negative polarity? That's really the question I'm asking.
Yes, indeed. I mean, right before
We're coming to a break, and we're going to be right back, and we'll continue this discussion. And thank you so much, Michael Heal.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
I don't like words that hide the truth. I don't like words that conceal reality. I don't like euphemisms. And American English is loaded with euphemisms because Americans have a lot of trouble dealing with reality. Americans have trouble facing the truth. So they invent a kind of a soft language to protect themselves from it. I'll give you an example of that. When I was a little kid, if I got sick, they wanted me to go to the hospital and see the doctor. Now they want me to go to a health maintenance organization.
Smug, greedy, well-fed white people have invented a language to conceal their sins. It's as simple as that. The CIA doesn't kill anybody anymore. They neutralize people. The government doesn't lie. It engages in disinformation. Israeli murderers are called commandos. Arab commandos are called terrorists. Contra killers are called freedom fighters. Well, if crime fighters fight crime and firefighters fight fire, what do freedom fighters fight? They never mention that part of it to us, do they? Never mention that part of it.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Revolutionary discovery changes your DNA and restores perfect cells. Listen to Transcension every Saturday at 2 p.m. Central on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Michael Lee Hill about the Anunnaki and his meeting with a couple of them, apparently. Okay, so, Michael, we were we zeroed in on where this Marduk individual was coming from, and I appreciate your restraint and your reference to Graham Hancock, who I have interviewed, and I highly recommend my interview with him if you haven't already seen it.
A huge fan.
So, yes, a very interesting man, and very, very eloquent. Mm-hmm. So, at any rate, once you realize that you met with sort of the dark side of the Anunnaki, and you understand that there are two brothers, and that supposedly there's a good brother and you know, who did go to bat, as you say, for humanity. At least that's the story that's told, that Zachariah Sitchin popularized and got out of his reading of the Sumerian tablets initially. Mm-hmm. And I have to say there, you know, there's a book that Zachariah Sitchin says he downloaded from Enki. I don't know if you know that. One of his books, which is The Life of Enki, I forget what it's called, maybe called something like The Life of Enki. But
Lost Book of Enki?
Yes. He said that was dictated to him by Enki. Do you know that?
Yes, I'm a big fan. That is actually the first thing that was done. Was I was given a whole library of Zachariah Sitchin's work. And said,
oh, really? Here,
yeah, well, catch up, you know? And I asked, they said that Zachariah Sitchin is even more correct than him or his son ever knew. And that was their own words.
Okay.
I think it's strange, though, because I think that these same beings are known throughout many of the world's religions by different names. I've heard them referred to as the Archons, the Djinn, the Djinn, so on and so forth. And I think some of these other ways of looking at them are actually probably a little bit more closer to reality, because at least they take in the aspect of that these are multidimensional beings. And truly, what's it mean to meet a multidimensional being? You got to ask yourself that, you know?
Well, considering we're all multidimensional beings, indeed. In my view,
yes.
You know, by you shall know yourself, here. Right?
Right?
So,
on.
But I'm curious to get into, first of all, have you had any other meetings with Anunnaki since that meeting?
Yes. In some of the craziest ways, and I've had other beings who have entered my life now that they won't say who they are, but they're very, very high individuals. And one was a Mayan elder, and he showed up. Well, let me tell you, because when I met the Anunnaki, first of all, in the middle of 2008, the fall of 2008, I went through what I can only call it like the dark night of the soul, or like, from what I understand, it's like when you've done your own spiritual homework and weeded out the fear out of your own belief system, at one point, you're tested, you know, to see if you're a clean vessel. And the way it's done is spirit will come in and make your pineal gland excrete DMT 24/7. DMT is what makes us dream, you know. So truly, your dream mythology and symbology starts manifesting in your waking state. And all your deepest fears become manifest. And truly, because the only way to transmute a negative thought form, because if thoughts truly have energy, which they do, they exist in electromagnetic frequency like we're broadcasting. Energy can't be created or destroyed. So no one's really asked, how do you transmute a negative thought form? Well, it's brought up in your reality, so hopefully you'll choose love, and you'll see it morph into its higher frequency, and you'll be done with it. So that's truly, I think.
Okay, and this sort of night of the soul, did this happen to you before? You
after.
Said 2008. So you actually met Marduk, or the person calling himself Marduk.
Yeah.
In what year?
That was the middle of 2008, and then in the fall of 2008 is when I went through this this spiritual awakening, and
okay,
that was
so
the
after that.
Process of, you know, I was actually experiencing being hunted down by the SAALM, you know, and I was being hunted down in multidimensional ways, and it was very apparent. And that's when the Mayan elder showed up in my life, and probably he helped me so much through that process, and showed. Probably saved my life, really. But I'll tell you, it was strange because after that phase of my own evolution ended, I was left broken. I was like, I thought this was supposed to end in some kind of good thing. You know what I mean? I wouldn't have wished what I went through on my own worst enemy. And so I went through almost probably about a year of just feeling kind of lost at sea. And I didn't want to, I was like, I'm afraid to even talk to someone because I never want someone to experience what I just experienced. But then at the end of that year, the exact same kind of weird multidimensional synchronistic things started happening, but it was of the light. And I ended up meeting I asked him, who are you? And he said, I am the highest of the most high that's here to meet the ancients as they awaken to form a council of 150 of these beings. And this person happened to be someone who is a really famous musician and really inspired me as to be a musician in the first place. So to end up meeting him, and all of a sudden, you know, he said, Michael, you're of the bloodline. I said, well, I heard something about that, you know. He goes, I know, but I said, I really don't know what it means. And he said, it's royal blood. I said, well, I really don't know what that means. And he said, I know, but you will. And at that time, we got to this restaurant we were walking to. And I said, so how did you know about the blood thing? Did you see the History Channel show? And he said, no. And then I'm really curious. I'm like, well, wait a minute. How do you know about the blood anomaly thing? He goes, Michael, that's why I'm incarnated right now. It's not coincidence. You and I are talking. And that's, he went on to tell me.
Are you talking about Terrell or this
no.
or another person?
It's a totally different individual.
I see.
Like I said, I can't give his identity because he is a famous musician.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Hear it in his music, you know. But he's met the Arcturians, and they've given him the keys to multidimensional travel. And he asked me, he goes, Michael, do you want to know what these orbs are that are out over the lake? And I said, yeah. He goes, well, you know, everyone has an energy body, or, you know, some people call it the aura or whatever. I said, yeah, I know. He said, well, in certain spiritual practices, you can start spinning those in very specific ways, and it's called a Merkaba. And sooner or later, it ignites into like a little miniature supernova of energy. And he said, it'll be about 3 feet above the top of your head, about 3 feet below your feet. He said, but three of these beings that are each creating a Merkaba fields can come together into a triangle formation. And they have this like a basketball size material that he said, you know how physical matter is truly just trapped light, you know, it's light that's slowed. He said, imagine a physical material that's screaming to become light again. It's the closest to becoming light. So these three beings put their energy from their Merkabas, and they're in a triangular formation into this middle sphere, and all of a sudden it ignites into a bigger supernova of about a 50-foot sphere of light. And he said, three of those come together, so you got nine beings, and then they can create one triangular craft that's hundreds of feet long. And what's really interesting is the UK Ministry of Defense just released classified information that's exactly what they said, that these plasma orbs of light can come together and in some process that's unknown to our science can create one physical craft.
Yes.
That's a heck of a technology. Now, this person that's telling me this, he said, we can do that, and then in the service of nine people creating this craft, thousands of them can then use that to come and see what's going on here, is what he said.
Okay, cool.
I'm just sharing.
No, that's great. Okay. So, but wait,
whether
okay,
he's there
so
or
you
not
went through this. We're talking 2008 because, you know, we're talking this is 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
How have things progressed for you since then? Because you said you got very into the Wingmaker material, and apparently so did Wes Penra, because he's written several articles about it. And and you may know that I've interviewed James, right?
Yeah, I'm very very fond of that interview, actually.
Okay. And so I did have interaction with him and Mark Hempel and all of that for years, actually, before I got involved in Camelot. And so it's been a long time. And I have to say that there are some things or conclusions that Wes came to that I don't agree with. Okay.
We argue quite a bit.
but that doesn't matter. I mean, you know, you don't have to agree in my world. You know, I don't have to agree with other people. It is an interesting thing to discuss, though. And I think there's some, I told Wes that I'd be happy to discuss that whole thing with him further, and maybe we should just do a show on the Wingmakers. I know that Wes doesn't want to come on he doesn't want to be a public personality, apparently, which I understand, you know, because that can be kind of hard work and not always a great reward. Sometimes it's the opposite, as you may know.
Yeah.
But at any rate, so maybe you can come back on the show and we can discuss the Wingmakers in more depth, because we've only got about 30 minutes left. And I do want to give people a chance to ask you questions and call in. Is that okay?
Yeah, that'd be great. I'm a huge fan of the Wingmakers, and it absolutely fits into all of this. So, yes.
Well, it's interesting to me. I know you got involved in some of the Casbolt information. That is actually on my website. I understand they say it's not available many places on the net, but I have quite a collection because Casbolt got in touch with me and started feeding me material to put on my site. So although we're getting the Camelot library is still not in very good shape, but we're trying to get it more organized so people can find stuff. But it is on the website, has been on the website. I did a number of, postings and had dialogues going back and forth with James Caswell for a while.
Yeah, that information, that's scared, you know. And really what happened was, truly, you know, if it scares you, my response to that was, oh, my God, I hope that's not real. Well, what am I doing? Really been putting a fear stamp on that, that's when my dark night of the soul happened, I experienced my fear. And it was because I was so passionate about the subject and I started learning about underground bases and all these horrible things. And thought creates reality. I forgot you got to be very careful where you place your attention, because where you do, it grows, as you know. And I had to face it face to face, and it was horrible.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, you have to go through the fire as a soul, and you went through a kind of an awakening, which I'm sure that's how you refer to it, but it's also that's something everyone's going through, and and it's not a bad thing to face your fears.
No, I think it's truly about learning to be responsible for your own mental energy, because it matters more than we know. And
absolutely.
And you know, that's it. That whole bed of information needs to come out so we can start. Because right now we're taught that what goes on, as long as you don't express it, you know, you can go and think of all that hatred and everything all day long, and it doesn't affect
right.
anything.
That's
when
right.
it does, you know. And so we just need to learn that. And there's a lot of, you know, some of these people we're talking about, I've just seen pictures of, they have new technology where you can see the human chakra system in real time and the energy fields around the body. And all of that was going to be released at the Pythagoras conference, by the way, because it's real. And it's I've seen it in years.
Sure.
So imagine what that has to do with the medical field when you can physically see the energy body, you know. So I think it's exciting things. We just need to choose as a species to better thoughts, you know, better belief systems that, you know, just, you know what it is once you learn thoughts create reality, you really lose your free will. Because if you think about it, there's only one thought that has the most love-filled outcome for everyone involved. And if you choose to believe any other thing, you're just going back into Maya, and it's not wrong. We all do it, you know. But truly, it's you gotta shoot high. And you know, like Bruce Lee, when he'd have a thought of fear or doubt, he would write it down on a piece of paper and just burn it, give it back to the universe, and go, all right, what else is available, you know?
Well, I mean, I'd have to say that I don't think you lose your free will. I think you actually gain the truest notion of free will, because much of the things that are negative are things that limit the free will in a certain way. And so it's choosing every day to live positively. It's that choice that you have to exercise, and that's
choosing
the,
love. You know?
Yeah, but that's a choice, and you have to make it, and you make it over and over again, by the way. We're going to be right back and take a caller who's been waiting on the line when we come right back.
Perfect.
Do you experience anxiety on a daily basis? Do you struggle to complete tasks, feel nervous in social settings, or are you losing sleep because of anxiety, worry, or health concerns? Let me tell you about a breakthrough discovery that changed my life. My name is Kirsten, and anxiety plagued me daily. I listened to the wonderful testimonials about RNA drops and decided to use them myself, beginning gradually from just a few drops to the recommended dosage. I'm happy to report that I experienced a significant decrease of anxiety, and that was just the beginning. After you hear the incredible stories at GetMyRNA.com, you can get a free trial-sized bottle valued at $50. Just pay shipping and handling. Again, that's GetMyRNA.com for your free trial-sized bottle today. Nothing is as important as feeling good again. Supplies are limited, so visit GetMyRNA.com right now.
Or see our ad on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. RNA drops.
What would you do if you or someone that you love was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered Ion, and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme's disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcendition process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
Nicotine, alcohol, good drugs. Coincidentally, tax drugs. Ooh, how does this work? Thank God they're taxing alcohol, man. It means we got those good roads we can drive on. Because I'll tell you something, I'll be honest, man. If I were going to legalize a drug, it sure wouldn't have been alcohol. Sorry, there's better drugs and better drugs for you. That's a fact. Pot is a better drug than alcohol. Fact. Fact. Stop your internal dialogue. But Bill, alcohol's a... Shut up! You're wrong. Get over it. I'll prove it to you, man. You're at a ball game or a concert and someone's really violent and aggressive and obnoxious. Are they drunk or are they smoking pot? They're drunk. I have never seen people on pot get in a fight because it is impossible. Hey, buddy. Hey, what? Hey. End of argument.
Your natural, organic, herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
Practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christopher Green. Make sure to tune in to Green Wave Radio every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central on American Freedom Radio. Hard-hitting and in-your-face, America.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun.
Okay, this is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Michael Lee Hill. And Michael, right before the break, I was saying that we should take a call from the caller, and I will go ahead and... I'm sorry, is that okay with you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They've been patient. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and hopefully there is a caller there. Sometimes people hang on and just listen. But area code 401, you're on the air with Michael Lee Hill and Carrie Cassidy.
Good evening. Thank you very much for taking my call. As always, Carrie, you give great information, have awesome guests, and give me more information that I have to go out and research. It's like a never-ending rabbit hole. Thank you very much for that. But my question is, this windmaker material that you're talking about, could you give me more information on that?
Check out www.wingmakers.com, and I would really highly suggest reading the interviews. Dr.
Okay, is it like wind, like air, or are you saying wing?
No, wing, as in like angels, you know, wing makers, like Red
Bull. Okay. Okay.
It's a wonderful bed of information. I will say, though, I know it resonates properly with me, but I learned my spirituality before I was even guided to the Wingmakers. But I would vouch for its high level of vibration it puts out. It's beautiful. The artwork, you'll find out the Neruda interviews about what's truly happening are more real and more true than any of us would have ever dared to imagine. I'll go as far as to say, when you read the Neruda interviews, you'll come across a term for a race that our government has been working with. It's called the Cortium. And I will tell you, as far as everything I know, the Cortium are the Anunnaki. And James is the leader of the Cortium, which would make him Anunnaki now, wouldn't it? Which is interesting. I think it's
caller, did that answer your question?
Yes, my first question, and my second question was about the Merkaba.
Mm-hmm.
Could you elaborate a little bit more on that, please?
I can't do it. I've heard that it's a practice like some Tibetan monks can do, and Trunvalo is a great teacher of it, from what I understand, and I've seen it. From what I understand, it's a Star of David. Everything, all energy fields around everything, be it atoms or a human being or a planet, take on the shape of two pyramids, like a Star of David. And through certain meditation and visualization practices, you spin the top one like clockwise and the bottom one counterclockwise and so forth. And I understand there's some breathing techniques, but that same energy field can be ignited through deep meditation. And that can be just being put in awe. Like if you're sitting there looking at a beautiful scenery, I can guarantee you, and like you lose your place in time, you've ignited your Merkaba. We all have one, and they say it's how higher dimensions can travel interdimensionally when they learn to do this. Like I said, I'm probably not the best teacher of it because I can't do it from what I understand. I don't think I've ever done it.
Well, let me say I can do it, and it's not that hard. It's really just something you do when you meditate. And basically activating your light body, you need to meditate on a regular basis and stimulate the Kundalini energy to raise from the base of the spine up through the crown chakra and the pineal gland and so on. But, that subject is a little too extensive for this radio show, so.
I'd like to talk to you sometime about that because
no problem. I'll be happy to talk to you about that. But thank you, caller.
Thank you very much.
If you investigate Kundalini energy and books on Kundalini, that will get you on the right track.
Okay. Thanks, Gary and Michael. Have a good night.
Okay. Bye bye. So we do have another caller, and let's give them a chance. This is area code 347. You're on the air with Michael Lee Hill and Carrie Cassidy.
Hello.
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 Hi.
Hello.
Can you hear us?
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
How you doing tonight?
Good. Good. Hello, everybody. My name's Philip. I'm a bit nervous. My heart's pounding, but I think that's the coffee.
It's all good, brother. I was really nervous, too, so you're a good company.
So my name's Philip Anselmo. I just wanted to know more about, like, the Enlil and Enki people or brothers.
Reed Sitchin for one thing, but
yeah.
go ahead, Michael. Do you want to address that slightly?
Very important point, because this is actually not a lot of people know that there's actually two totally different bloodlines within the Anunnaki. And, you know, the Anunnaki had existed for hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of years before one of them, who happened to be the king, had an affair with a outsider. This female was not Anunnaki. And they had a child out of that union, and they named it Enki. Enki was the firstborn of Anu, but he was a hybrid himself, you see. So I think it's very important there, because a lot of people, they just lump the Anunnaki into this huge one. They think it's one thing, you know, when it's absolutely not, even on a genetic level. There was new DNA brought in through the Enki line, through Enki's mother, which I think is how we get into the whole Wingmakers bed of information personally. And you find out that the Anunnaki, they knew that they weren't at the top of the totem pole. You know, they had a counselor that they called Galzu. Galzu was said to be an ambassador from all that is. So they knew that they weren't it, you know. But my point is, so Enki was the firstborn, but his father had a second son later on in history, and this son was born of an Anunnaki mother. So this was a pureblood Anunnaki, and his name was Enlil. So what had happened was Enki, all of his life, was brought up to become king. But at the time Enlil was born, because of their own rules of succession and whatnot, you had to be a pureblood. And so the throne went to his brother Enlil, and as it said, Enlil became the Yahweh, the, you know, kind of the vengeful God role in the Bible, who didn't have a lot of time or patience for us. You know, he looked at us as just not very significant. Where Enki, I think, knew better personally, I think, because of his mother's side. And I think he had a more compassion in his...
Well, you know, I think there's some disagreement as to all of that, but I will also say the Voyager books that Ashana Dean has written also contain a lot more about the various races that get mixed into the whole mix. And again, Anunnaki means those from heaven to earth who came. So that's a kind of a general catch-all, but there is a specific race that has to do with Syrian Anunnaki, which is the group from Sirius, which apparently are the more reptilian, from what I understand, group. And then there's a sort of a more Pleiadian group. So so this is kind of where we get a distinction. But It's quite convoluted, and again, we just don't have the time. I'm afraid we only got 5 minutes or less of the show, but there is one more caller. Maybe we could try to take their call.
Cool.
All right, and thank you very much, caller, for your question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry about this. It's kind of very limited here. We've got area code 830. You're on the air with Michael Lee Hill. And Carrie
Castle. Oh, yes. Thank you for taking my call. I don't know how educated you are on this, Michael, but I read all of Stitchin's books, and the last one that I read was The Lost Book of Enki. And that is Enki's memoir. And you have some of it right, but a lot of it wrong. And if you would read The Lost Book of Enki, I think you'll understand a lot more.
Hmm. What part would you say I'm wrong on, just out of curiosity?
Enki.
Oh, gosh, I'm very sorry.
It's too long to go into, but please read the book.
Thank you very much, caller. I'm very sorry, but the music is playing. Do you want to give out a website or anything like that, Michael? You have a Facebook page, right?
Yeah, just tell them to look me up on Facebook and say hello.
Okay. I'd love to do this again with you, Michael. We obviously could cover a lot more stuff.
That'd be fantastic.
And thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like it very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Are chemtrail geoengineering programs changing our weather and destroying our environment? Why in the world are they spraying?
They want to create a storm in the southeast, then they'll start engineering out over the North Pacific. That's where the trailies will be.
Find out why critics are calling Why in the World Are They Spraying the most important film that is revolutionizing the environmental movement. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's just going to get worse until the point where we're not going to be able to grow anything at all unless it's a Monsanto genetically modified abiotic stress resistant seed.
Why in the World Are They Spraying? New international version with languages available from around the world. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's all about money, and weather is another form of commoditizing, a way the Central Command Group can commoditize another form of our life.
Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. And by the way, it's the same big club they used to beat you over the head with all day long, where they tell you what to believe all day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hard-working people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hard-working people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all, at all, at all. Yeah. You know? And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant, because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics,
no taboo topics,
no fear of doom,
no fear of doom.
We are
American Freedom Radio,
American Freedom Radio.